Good morning. Good morning. Amen. I'd say, good morning. Do you know, this is a great morning. As you get older, you have to bring more cases and stuff, don't you? What's the crack with all of that? It's like, I don't know what's what. And you have to put on things and take off things and put things in glasses and all, don't you, Ken? Heather told me there's more to Ken on the table than there is in the bed these days. Only lesson. God is good, isn't he? What, Sharon? Sharon makes eyes at me. I'm like, I'm supposed to know what they mean. You love me. Oh, yeah, I love you too. It's crazy to stand up here. Last week I was up in a church in Dundalk speaking, and I spoke there at Christmas as well on the 12th of December. The pastor had taken quadruple bypass, and they asked me to speak and just to fill in and encourage the church. And so I went up, and it was my first time speaking outside of Liberty in 18 months. And last week was the same church. So I must have been okay on the 12th that they asked me back without the emergency. And so that was my second time to speak outside of Liberty within 2 years now, because that was in December. But so the last time I was here, I was listening to Niamh preach and Louise preach and Bridget speak and Lynn speak. And I'm like, my goodness, like this. And I mean, my nerves wrecked. These women have ramped her up, and the beauty of it all is that, like, you know, apart from Lynn, there are women. There are women, because I believe with all of my heart that we're one, that there's no male and female. We all have roles and different strengths and all that, so I'm not saying that, but God has a call. God has a purpose and a plan. That's why he made Adam and Eve. It wasn't just Adam. It was Adam and Eve. That fella could have done it all by himself. He would have been all by himself. So, men, if you think you can do it all by yourself, you're a lunatic. It's us all. And come the, I think it's the 7th of July, we're really just working on this. But get ready. But one of our men, Brian Gray, had it on his heart from the Father. For us, you know, we started to do a men's meeting, which I don't even want to call it a meeting, so that word meeting doesn't do anything for me these days. A gathering. We saw the first month we had this meeting was in May, and then the last one was just the other night on Friday. And I encourage us men, this is not a men's meeting. I don't know, but I'm a Christian 27 years, and men's meetings, well, sit around and sing a few songs and hear a few words and then go home the same. I'm like, I don't want that. That's not my life. That's not your life. That's not God's plan. And so when we're together, we're men seeking God. We're worshiping together and hearing the voice of God and the word of God together to challenge us to be men, to be men. And so we've been together twice. And after the first one, Brian says, "No, I think we should put on as men a night for the women." And so we were on a light, and we announced it to the men, and it's going to be, I think it's Friday, the first Friday of July, the 7th, that we plan to put it on. We don't know what we're going to do yet, but we know we want to do it. And for all the men that weren't there, we need you to serve. We need you. And not only to serve, but what we've asked the men, there was 22 men here on Friday night, that we asked each other to give into this. We want the men to say, if you see Brian, will you just stand up, because not everybody knows you, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but this is Brian Gray, I'm asking the men, if it's only a fiver or a tenner or a hundred or a thousand, whatever, give it to Brian and say, I want to invest. I want to say to our women, thank you. I want to say you're important, you're valued to us. We want to say thank you for holding the fort when we weren't holding the fort. We want to say thank you for standing with the sword and believing when we weren't believing in ourselves. And this is our opportunity to say, we don't know you. You might have a cup of Coke and a pack of cribs. We don't know you. It's all out. I don't know about you. Do you go to movies? I love the movies. I don't like barrels of popcorn. Not into that. Too butter on it. Not my scene. A good old package of popcorn out of Tuttle's. You know the ones? package of minstrels, poured it in. Anybody with me? Anyone do this? And a bottle of Coke, right? And then during the movie, you have a bit of popcorn and a minstrel thrown in there. It might be that, but it'd be a great night. We don't want that. So men, sign up and give up. Give in to this and let's say to our women, thank you. We're not going to wait till Mother's Day to do this lark. We're going to say thank you when the Lord laid it on our hearts. Amen. So I said all that to say I was nervous getting up to speak to preach. And also just to say that the football is also in Dolphins Barn, like that Wednesday and Thursday. So you're going to be going to Dolphins Barn, doing a kids camp, soccer camp with Caroline, and there's a team over from the States. I'd encourage you to come along to meet these people. Here's the other thing I was saying to Sharon and Louise, I don't know which one it was like, when there's American teams are over, you're invited to come and say hello, you're invited to come and engage. And you know what they always say? Here's what they say inevitably. When you come to America, will you come and stay with me? Now, you know, sometimes we say that as Irish people, but we don't mean it. You know what I mean? Like, I've only a 3-bedroom house and a gang of kids, and you know, you're like, if you come over, we don't say stay, don't we? I'll meet you in town or something like that. But when they say come over and stay with us, they mean it. Because they want relationships, they want to build friendships across the pond. So when you go, they're not really meaning that. Believe me, they mean it. So get involved, come along, especially men, if you're available. Up in the flats in Uncle Clondalkin, and no disparagement on anything. But they need to see men. They need to see men being men. They need to see men being vulnerable. They need to see men being real. Watch them when you go up and the way they look to you, the way they look at you. And get involved. And as Niamh already said, you don't need to know how to play football. You need to just know how to encourage a kid. Great shot. Nike your jersey. Your Man United, that brutal. Whatever it is. Do you know what I mean? Like, anyway. Give of yourself. Let's pray. That was too much announcement. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your heart towards each one of us, Lord. You love us. And I thank you in these days, oh God, that you're calling us to arise. You know why? Because God is rising. God is standing up. The Bible says when God arises, the enemy scatters. And he's standing up. I could see, I had a sense of the Lord just rising up. And the enemy scattering in 7 directions. They don't know how to, they're just rushing to get out of the way. And God is saying, not only am I rising up, but you're in Christ. And when he rises up, we're called to rise up. And our enemy scatters. Those devils that torment us scatter. Terrified. Because the sons and daughters of God is growing up. I say arise, liberty. I say, woman, arise. Get up, man. Get up, woman. These are get up man's and get up woman's moments. So get up, because he's getting up and he's moving and we're moving. And he's doing things and we're going to do things, because it's him that's leading us. And we ask that you would take your word, Lord, and you would cause it to manifest within us, Lord. Lord, food for our soul, oh God. Strength for our work ahead of us, oh God. Rest, Lord, to our very spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is Pentecost Sunday. I don't know whether the worship team knew that when they were singing that song. But this is Pentecost Sunday. This is 40 days after Easter when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the scriptures, as the scriptures tells us. And the people that were in the upper room were all filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. And then they came out of that place down laughing and merry and full of life and joy so much that the people that seen them says they're drunk. And someone says, it's only 9 in the morning. Well, maybe in Jerusalem you couldn't get a point at 9 o'clock in the morning, but you could in Dublin. But they said, they're drunk. And Peter the apostle stands up. Do you remember Peter who was terrified? Who, when a little girl says, you are following Jesus, says, I'm not following Jesus. Now filled with the Holy Spirit, now filled with life and joy and power, he stands up and he says, men of Israel, listen to this. And Jay went on to quote what Jay Rafferty just quoted out to us there. This is what the prophet said. God is pouring out his spirit. And we're called to be spirit-filled people. We're not called to be just Christians. We're not called as people all over this world. You know, I say this all the time. People all over this world today, all over this city, are celebrating Pentecost Sunday. And I say, Lord, bless every church. But you don't wheel this out once a year. We're supposed to be people of Pentecost. People will wheel out Pentecost Sunday to this Sunday and forget about it till next year. Not realizing that we're called to be people of the Spirit, people of Pentecost that moves in the power and the dynamic of the Spirit. People will take it out today and put it away. And then they think we're people of power. Try take your phone and leave it not charging for 3 days and see how powerful your phone is. Well, what is it? Mine is a couple of hours. It's the same with our lives. We can't live this life without Him. We're just being religious. We can't live for a moment without Him. All we're trying to do is do it in our own strength, and we always fail and we always fall without Him. He is so good to us. And how can Jesus, is a question for us today. What does He want to give us as a building block for our lives? What does He want to do so that we can enter into what He has for us in power and in strength? Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 11:28. He says this, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." What did Christy Dignam and Aslan sing that song? How can I protect you in this crazy world? That's good. How can I protect you in this crazy world? It's all right. How can He correct? Can Amen. How can He protect us? What has He given us? What is the armor? What is the tools? What is the inheritance of the people of God in a world that has gone crazy? We speak right now, Father, peace over London this morning, oh God. We speak peace, Lord God, into the city, into the people, Lord, into the government, Lord, into the police force, oh God, into the victims, oh God, into the perpetrators, oh God. We speak peace, Lord. We speak peace into Kabul in Afghanistan, Lord, where there was hundreds blown up this week, Lord. We say shalom to Kabul. Shalom to London. In Jesus' name. How can He protect us? The world is crazy. We turn on the news. I have a little plan. In the morning. You turn on the news, or you read the good news. I'm telling you, sometimes that determines how you walk out your door. I'm walking into a depressed, crazy world. Or I'm walking into the same mess with the peace of God. And that's what He has to give us. Jesus says, if you're weary, if you're in a crazy world, come to me. I want to give you rest. When I tell you what this means, it means walking in tranquility in the midst of chaos. Jesus says, come to me with all your burdens, all the things that weigh you down, and I will give you rest, which means a tranquility in the midst of chaos. Now, who's not going to enter into chaos this week? Somehow or other, we're going to walk into something. Whether it's chaos in the job or chaos in the mind or chaos in the family, we're walking in. But Jesus didn't deny that that's going to be there. But what He did say, I'm going to put a foundation in your life that when you come to me, you will walk into these situations and you're carrying peace, shalom, completeness, soundness of mind, soundness of body. He says, if you come to me with your brokenness, I will give you rest. I know, don't know about you, but when I read scripture, scripture start to read me. And this is what we can do. We can see that it's just something that Jesus said, and that's nice. Or this is something that Jesus has for us today. See, we look at it as just a historical thing. All we have is a religion. But what don't we love the quote as Christians? I'm not in religion, I have a relationship. Well, when you're in relationship with Jesus, when you're with Him, we're supposed to walk in this. Do you know why? He did. Do you remember He was going across the lake and a storm blew up? Where was Jesus? Resting. Tranquility in the midst of chaos. I don't know if that boat would have gone under. Maybe Jesus would have floated on the water, still asleep. Because he wasn't going to let the chaos and the storm that was all around him disturb who he was. And he has this for you and me. And if anything or anyone tells us less, they're lying. They're heretics. Because the Bible says when you become a Christian, we are in him. That everything he is, we have. Now, I don't know about you. When I read this, I realize how below my inheritance I'm living. I realize that I don't always have tranquility in the midst of chaos. I realize that I let chaos encroach on my mind and my heart. And I look at the storm and I forget who Jesus is. And then I look for comfort elsewhere. And I look for tranquility in other things or other ones. And eventually when the storm comes, they go down with it. Or else I turn to Jesus. I say, Jesus, I need you. Moses in the Bible, do you remember that man? He was 80 years of age when he met Jesus. He was after living in Egypt as a prince. He murdered a man and now was on the run. Talk about chaos. And he meets God. Do you remember he was 80 years of age? He was minding sheep from a prince to minding sheep. That's a big gap. Nothing wrong with minding sheep, but if you're a prince, that's a long way away from where you were. And he's walking up and he's minding sheep and he turns and there's a bush on fire, which is not unusual in the desert for a bush to go on fire. But what was happening was the bush wasn't burning like a bush would with a normal fire. This was a different fire. And the Bible says when he turned, God spoke to him. God is calling us in these days to turn to him. Not to keep walking going, oh, you'll speak to me God will speak to me whenever I'm ready. God will speak to me like willy-nilly. No, he won't. It was when Moses turned, it was when Moses gave God his attention. And God says, I'm going to use you, Moses, to go into Egypt to the might of Pharaoh and to take the slaves out, all of God's people. They reckon about 2 million. Moses went in and he done the job. And he brings the people out. And God says, I have a promised land, which he promised way, way back to Abraham. He says, I want to bring you into this promised land. And Moses is having this dialogue with God. And God spoke to him as you would to a friend. That's what it says. God spoke to him face to face like you would to a friend. And Moses says to him in Exodus 33, verse 13, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember this, Lord. These people are yours. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, then do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? The Lord replied to him, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I will give you the ability to walk through chaos in absolute peace. Because if you remember this story, Joshua went over to see earlier on, Joshua and Caleb and the other spies went off to see what was in that land where he was sending them. What did he say? Fortified cities, giants, rough land, like warriors, Amalekites, all the other Amalekites and people like him. He says, warring nations. He says that like that's who's in there. And God is now sending him in to that place. And he says, what will you have when you go into the place of giants and fortified cities and walls and warring nations? You'll have peace. You'll have a rest, a tranquility. Do you know we can enter battles with peace? We can enter warfare, war zones with tranquility. That's what he says. When we face our giants, we shiver and shake and run away and do whatever we used to do. God says, you can walk up to that giant like Maximus Aurelius or David of the Bible. Going down, boy. David walked up. Listen, read chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. all of the people of God, when Goliath came out, they were terrified and dismayed. That's what it's terrified. They were silent. The enemy had put a sock in their mouths. Little David walks up. He knew God. He knew God. Now, knowing God's presence, God says, my presence will go with you and you will have rest. There's the secret. It's in his presence. And he goes up, David's after being in the presence, singing songs to God. Do you like the way I play that guitar? Every time I'm up here, I play that guitar. You mightn't hear it, but I'm telling you, God hears it. It comes from the strings that's in there. That's where it comes from. And David was the same. That's who, when I came to the Lord, I loved Jesus. I felt so in love with Jesus, but I could identify so much with David. Because he knew what it was to be a fallen, broken man, and yet love God with all of his heart. And David comes out of the field after being worshipping God. And everyone's terrified and dismayed. And the enemy had put a sock in their mouth because that's what he does. Listen to me, men. Let your wife or your kids or your friends hear you praying. Let them hear us. You know what men do most times? Pray in their head. I prayed to myself this morning. Did you ever hear that? Pray to myself this morning. What did you say? Let them hear us praying. Because the enemy wants to remind us of our sin and our shame and our guilt. We pray little prayers. And it makes us terrified and dismayed. What if I step up to the plate and fail again? But David, none of that. The enemy put a sock in their mouth. David runs up. What's going on? It's just the enemy comes out. Goliath comes out and he says, give me a man to fight. David says, I'll fight. Steps into a chaotic situation with absolute assurance and peace that God was with him. David put a sock into David's sock. Took out. He says, you come against me with sword and jab. I come against you in the name of the living God. God says to Moses, I'm sending you in with absolute peace and rest into a chaotic land, and you have to take it. There was a man, and he was a rich man, and he commissioned three artists to paint pictures of what rest is, what peace is. See, the result of rest is peace. So when you rest in him, you have peace with him and the peace of him. So this man, he said to an artist, paint me a picture, three artists, paint me a picture of what is peace, what is rest. So there's a big unveiling of the paintings that were commissioned by this rich man. And he pulled the veil off the first one. And it was a beautiful scene of mountains and sunshine on the mountains coming down the side of the hill where it was all there up. And the other side was in like the shade. And the sheep were in the shade gathering their food out of the scorching sun. And everything that you can imagine, you could nearly smell the grass. It was that beautiful. And your man says, that's amazing. The guy that gave the commission, he pulled the veil off the second one. And the second one was a scene of an ocean. And it was so calm, it was like glass. And the sun was resting on the horizon. And there was birds in the air. And the sky was so blue with enough clouds in it to give shade from the scorching sun. And you could see like the ends of the clouds just fading off at the very end of the clouds because there was a gentle breeze. And you could see all of this. And then on the beach of the scene, there's two deck chairs with two lovely towels on it and a little table with refreshing drinks on it. And your man says, that's my favorite so far. I love the beach. I love the sea. I love the tranquility of all of that. Then they unveiled the third one. And the third one, when he was unveiled, was a waterfall, a huge waterfall. And you could nearly hear the sounds of the raging water coming over the mountain. And your man freaked, the guy to get the commission freaked, saying, that's not peace. What do you mean that's peace? Look, that's violence. Look at the violence of the water, the sound, there's nothing there that's peaceful. And the artist says, no, you're looking at it the wrong way. He says, I painted this from a side view. He says, now I want you to look behind the waterfall. Look closer. He looked in closer. There was a little nest, a couple of birds in it. The mother feeding the birds. The birds end up with the mother feeding. And he says, that's peace. In the midst of the roars of the waterfall, in the midst of the chaos of the world of our lives, that God, he doesn't take us away from the waterfall. He gives us peace and tranquility to walk in the midst of it all. And where everyone is clamoring, if I do this, I'll get peace. If I go there, I'll get peace. And we go home and the madness is still there. We go into work and the anger is still there. We go and meet our kids and there's all types of things going on. And we want, well, Jesus, this Christianity is not working. All the chaos is still there. We've got it wrong. He wants to give us the peace in the midst of it all. Because Moses says, how will they know we're any different? Take a few more pills. Take a few more drinks. Have sex more. Dress up more. Buy this more. Get a bigger car and I'll have peace. No, you won't. Jesus says the kingdom of God is within. Not from the outside. If we're looking at outside stuff, that's all you're going to have is outside stuff. And someone will rob your car and you'll have no peace again. Or someone will scrape it. I remember only car I ever bought brand new, 08 C5, painted on the drip, never forget it. Nearly dripped me dry. I remember I got it, 08 C5, I mean beauty. Got home and I'm sitting out the window because I didn't want anyone to touch it. No one to touch it. It's like cars are coming in. Like, brand spanking new. A kid comes around on a bike. I knew he was going to hit it. I was like at my window. No! He hits me, car. It's just the car. That's where I left. It's just stuff. Yeah, could yeah, be a good steward of it. Because what's in here can't be bought of this world. And Jesus says, I've come to give you this. And people didn't enter this. Here's the contradiction in the Bible. Hebrews 4.11. I'll read it out. It's a great contradiction. Hebrews 4.11. Talks about the Sabbath rest. We all should have a Sabbath rest. God took a day off. He made everything. 6 days, he made everything. Then he rested. Why? Because it was complete. Do you know how you know you're living in some type of completeness? You can rest. It's not all go, go, go. My day off is a Monday. If you don't need me on a Monday, don't bring me a text. Because I need to protect my rest. If your head is falling off, ring Louise or something. Don't but people text me, I know it's your day off. And why did you text me? I'm not saying one up there if you really, really, really need us. I know it's your day off. So it'd be like this. Would you have Anna Hoyland's number? And you know what this little lad does? Sends it. No, if you don't honor it, I can't expect anyone to honor it. We're told to have a Sabbath rest. That's how you know you're living in completeness. It's not all madness in our lives. He says this, 4:11. It's all about Sabbath rest. You can read yourself, Hebrews 4. But 4:11 says this. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fail by following their example of disobedience. I'll explain it. He says, let us strive. Let us make every effort. Other translations say, let us work hard at entering rest. But that sounds crazy, doesn't it? Work hard to enter rest. It sounds a contradiction. No, it doesn't. You have to work at gaining your rest. Because there's all things that will clamor to try to take you out of rest. The situations and circumstances. One could come in tomorrow, could be in the form of a bill in your letterbox. And it can take you out of rest, but you need to work hard to get back into rest. And say, Lord, I can't afford this. I can't meet this, Lord. You are my Father who provides for me. I ask for your provision. I trust that you'll provide and you come back into rest. It could be in the form of an argument. You do something wrong, you sin. And you know when you sin, you're not in rest. Hello? Am I satisfied for the moment? And then there's unrest. Then there's no peace. And you have to work hard at getting back into rest by this. You step back in. Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me. Cleanse me. I accept your forgiveness. I accept that this sin is paid for. And now I'm going to walk in the forgiveness. Now I'm going to walk in the righteousness of God. And you come back into peace. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, is saying, walk at getting into peace. In Moses, when Moses went over with the people, he met these people that they had to fight the Amalekites. They were in the valley, and they were all fighting. The people of God was fighting the Amalekites. Where was Moses and Aaron and Hur? Up on a hill. Do you know what they were fighting for? Rest. They were up there saying, I declare that God has told us we're going to have victory. What were they doing? Fighting for the rest. And some of us need to do that over our marriages, over our children, over our future. We need to stand and fight and say, no, God said. No matter what chaos is going on around us, we have to get up on a hill in our house. If you have a bunk bed, get up on it. Elevate yourself over everything else and say, God says. And I'm going to believe it. Johnny, you might be far away from now, but God says. Husband, you might be walking with God, but God says. We have to do it. That's how you fight for rest. That's how you war for rest. You bring it into your life. Because tell you what, not many else are going to do it for you. That's the truth. I'm not going to do it for you. That's the truth. It was never made that way that I would do it. That's a life of religion. Pastor will do it. No, you do it. I do pray for you. But it's better when you pray for you. I do believe in you. It's better when you believe in you. The life of religion is, the pastor knows all. He's all the fountain of all wisdom, all knowledge, all power, all understanding. What a load of baloney. Stick around with me for a week and you'll find out what that's all about. I'll shatter every dream, every misconception you have. I'll break it and make a lawyer of it in a week. That's religion. My role as I'm not even a pastor. That's the other side of it. My role as an apostle of God is to equip you to accomplish what God has for you. Not for you to fulfill my dream. Not for you to fulfill the vision of liberty. My role is to equip the saints, to release the saints, to do all they are supposed to do. And there's lots for us to do. And we can do it without argy-bargy and panic and da-da-da-da. I want to walk in tranquility. I want to walk with what Jesus carries. Because that's what's available. And I told you, these scriptures torment me. I don't know about you. They irritate me. But I haven't got it. Are you turning aside? Are you turning? Jesus says this. Listen to Warren Burke. Jesus says, when he was sweating like what was drops of blood, when he was going to the cross, he says, Father, is there any other way? Because at some moment, Jesus wasn't in that peace. That's the only way I can describe it. Drops of blood, humanly. Because he was fully human. Lord, is there anything else? Father, is there anything else? Any other way of doing this? He goes, everything's coming to that. Not my will, but your will. Now that really means this. Not you saying, God, will you do this, this, and this, and then I'll be at peace. But God, I surrender everything for your way. For your way. And believe me, Jesus tells us in places, his way is not always the easiest way. In fact, he said to the disciples, you're going to be going out like lambs to wolves. But you will walk in something. You will walk in something that even the wolves will be afraid of you. Imagine a little lamb walking in amongst wolves with total peace. I tell you, the lamb is not afraid. I tell you, he was afraid there. It's the wolves. The wolves are like, here, don't say anything to him. Remember, they always say, don't mind the wild ones, be fearful of the quiet ones. It's surrendering to him. The people of God didn't go into the promised land due to three things. I'm nearly finished. They didn't go into the rest because of unbelief. Unbelief is an awful, awful sin in the eyes of God. They didn't go into the rest. That's what you look at the people of Israel in the desert. If you identify with them, you need to get right with God. They were filled with unbelief. You know what unbelief is? Unbelief is not like you don't believe God can do it. Unbelief is you just don't believe God will do it for you. That's what unbelief is. Well, here's unbelief. God, will you give no rest? We won't give it to me. That's unbelief. That keeps you out of rest. That keeps you out of your destiny. Because you're always a victim. And it kept them out. Look at them. They didn't go into the rest of God. And not only that, but they hardened their heart. They hardened their heart against God, which allowed them to do all the formal things, all the things that were right to do, what Neve was saying, why'd you go to church? You'll do all these things, but your heart is hardened to God speaking to you. And the third thing is disobedience. And people will say to you, and people will put it on you, and people will say, well, why isn't this happening? Why isn't God doing this? And you're not fulfilling this, and you're not fulfilling that. And here's the question, is your heart hardened? Is your heart in unbelief? And are you being disobedient to God? If you are in any of those categories, I'm telling you, you need to get to God. Because I could fast for you a million days and nothing will shift God. If your heart is hardened, or you're in unbelief, or you're disobedient, I'm telling you, it ain't coming to you. I'm telling you the truth. This is what it says. It doesn't matter what it is. If God told you to do something, you're not doing it. I could fast, pray, prophesy, no matter what I would say, will not shift God's heart. Only you can, personally. If it's a hard heart, you say, God, soften. If it's unbelief, say, God, give me revelation. If it's disobedience, do it. If it's disobedience, find what it is. God won't move on. You might move on. You might go around the desert 100 times, but he ain't moved on. He's like, if you want the breakthrough, you come back to this moment. Where I ask you to do this, or go there. Whatever it is, you know what it is. It's usually stuff of the heart. We enter into the rest of God. Listen to the rest of God. When we give our lives to Jesus, we enter into a covenant that everything he is, he gives to us. Some of the names of God in the Bible are this. Like there's a word that he uses for his name is El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. El Elyon, the Lord of Hosts. Adonai, Master. Yahweh, the Lord of all things. Jehovah Nisi, our banner. Jehovah Ra, the Lord, my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. The Lord, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The Lord our righteousness. The Lord who changes us. The everlasting God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. The Lord of hosts. When we enter into our lives with Jesus, we come underneath every one of these names as our purpose. What do you need? Peace. What have you not got that you need for your walk with him? He has it for you. Let's stand. God is good, amen. You want rest? You want to walk in peace? The worship team will come back. So if you haven't got it and you're facing chaos right now, why don't you just turn to him? Just turn to him. Turn to him. Lord, I need you. I need you more than yesterday. Lord, forgive me for my disobedience. Lord, soften my hard heart. Lord, look at what the disciples said. Lord, help me with my unbelief. Jesus said, come to me with it all, and I'll give you rest. To him, not to anyone else, to him. If he leads us to talk to someone else, praise God, but him first. I give it all to you, Jesus. I Give it all to you, Jesus. See, this is what Pentecost was. They received from God to go into the world to bring His peace. When you have peace with God, you carry the peace of God. And if you're not at peace with God, you haven't asked Him to be your Savior, your King, your best friend. If you haven't, and you know you're not right with Him because you don't carry that peace. Right now, just make your peace with Him. Lord, listen. Listen how simple He made it. Lord, forgive me and come into my life. And you may have a million words to try to express that. But a couple of sentences is sufficient because He reads the intention of every heart. And if you ask Him to come in, He comes in because He's serious about what He says. And He'll bring His peace and His rest and His joy and His hope. He will bring heaven into your life. And you will see transformation of your life and of lives around you. To sum it all up, you could just say, Jesus, come into my life. I give my life to you this day. Amen. And for the rest of us, I just say simply, rise up and walk in the rest of God. Deal with the things of our hearts that robs us. Work hard against them so that we can enter in. Walk up to our joints. In that rest, and I'm telling you, Goliath starts to quake in his shoes. And if Goliath is too stubborn to quake, believe me, when you take care of him, the rest of the Goliaths listen. And I release you today. Would you put out your hands? This is what Pentecost is. This is what being a Pentecostal person is. A person of Pentecost, filled with the Spirit like they were in Acts. This is what it is to walk into this mad world under the protection of Almighty God, in the rest of God. When storms come, you rest. You're hearing God. That's where you hear God, in rest. And I release you of every weight that has caused you not to enter into rest today. Every lie, every wrong teaching, every wrong thoughts, I release you from them. And Jesus says, come on, come on, come on. Come on and enter into my rest. Come on and enter in. And we receive it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Would you put your hand on the shoulder beside you? And just pray over them. This is what Jesus said. We follow Him. This is what Paul the Apostle says. He says, peace be with you. The rest of God, the tranquility of God. We speak peace into every chaotic thing that's going on in your world right now. We speak peace so that you can hear God. We speak over you protection in this crazy world. We love you, Lord. Come on, let them hear your voice. Don't take the sock out. Let them hear it. Sock it to the devil. No, come on. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We're the people of God. We're the people of God. We're the ones that walk in rest. We're the ones. All of us together. Hallelujah, Lord. That's it. That's a lovely sound. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Don't stop. Just pray over them. Pray your best prayer for them. Pray as if their life depends on it, because it probably does. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are the priest of God. You have the same power and authority because Jesus gave it to you. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen, Jesus. We finish with this song, Tongues of Fire. And let's receive it. You know what? My friend Yudanoi, this is what this rest can do. My friend Yudanoi, Sean, preached here. And he says, this is the type of Christians we're supposed to be. And when I hear this stuff, I'm like, Lord, I want. I wanter. He says, here's what type of Christian you should be. That when you put your foot on the boat, on the ground tomorrow morning when you get out of bed, he says, alarm bells should go off in hell, saying, they're up! They're up! That as soon as their feet, the hell, all the heavenlies are quaking, alarm bells going off, they're up! Woo, 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 woo! They're up! And I send you into this city as sons and daughters of God. Even the earth, the Bible says, is groaning and moaning for the sons and daughters of God to arise. And I say arise in the name of Jesus. Let's end with this song. Thank you, guys.